Good morning. Today's Daf and Yom Amos, Mem Gimel. We're on Mem Beis Amud Beis. We are a little more than halfway down on the Amud, continuing our discussion of Havachana. A woman terminates a marriage and she wants to enter into a new marriage, so she has to wait. She has to wait 3 months in order to establish paternity. So this idea, as we discussed in detail yesterday, resolves two issues. Number one, establishing paternity brings about Hashras HaShechina. Not sure if I can explain it any better, but that's what the Gemara said yesterday as one of the positions regarding why it is that establishing paternity is so necessary. Meaning establishment of paternity will have nothing to do in terms of the status of the child, Jew versus non-Jew. Meaning when the mother's Jewish, the child's Jewish. But the establishment of paternity will just bring about more Hashras HaShechina. So that's one opinion. The second opinion of the Gemara that we saw yesterday on Mem Beis Amud Aleph is that if you don't have clarity on paternity, so it would lead to a lot of potential issues. Because if the child doesn't know who their father is and assumes that it's a different father, so it'll bring about a lot of issues regarding, aside from the marriage of siblings, but aside from that, also just basic Yibam issues as well. In other words, a lot of false assumptions, incorrect assumptions, which will lead about to erroneous Yibam. And erroneous Yibam is another way of just simply saying that you ended up marrying a Shesach. So for these concerns, so so there is an importance, a significance in establishing paternity. Good. So that part's clear. Where does it get unclear, or where is it controversial? Under what circumstances does a woman have to wait 3 months? So clearly, if she could have become pregnant from her original husband, and now she could also become pregnant from her new husband, so obviously under those circumstances, there is a concern of being unclear regarding who the father is, and so therefore a waiting period of 3 months. And in today's daf, the Gemara is going to be very super specific regarding how exactly to count those 3 months. But that's the part that's clear. Where does it get controversial or debated? Where there's no need to wait 3 months, i.e., let's say her previous marriage terminated where it was just Erusin, meaning she was married to her previous husband, but only Erusin, which means that they were married, but they didn't live together. So under those circumstances now, is there going to be a 3 month waiting period? In the Mishnah, we saw back on Mem Aleph and Aleph, so there were three opinions on this matter. There was the Tanakama, there was Rabbi Huda, and there's Rabbi Yossi. Tanakama's position is the easiest to present, because lo plug. In other words, the answer is really simple. You always wait 3 months. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. And what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf is that according to the Tanakama, which, by the way, yesterday we identified as Rabbi Meir, so according to the Tanakama, so the 3 month waiting period would be under any and all circumstances, even if the previous marriage there was no pregnancy, even if we know there was no pregnancy. Let's say, for example, the Gemara discussed yesterday, let's say, for example, he was imprisoned and he wasn't with her. There was no visitation. He wasn't with her till the end of the marriage. Doesn't matter. According to the Tanakama / Reb Meir, so there always is a requirement to wait 3 months, even if there's no need to wait 3 months, but still, lo plug rabbanon. The Chacham just simply said, when going from one marriage to another, a woman has to wait 3 months. Fine, period. Then there were two other opinions, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda's position is easy to articulate. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if she comes off of Erusin, which means that she wasn't impregnated by her previous husband, then she can go and she can do Nisuin with her new husband within 3 months. If she concluded Nisuin, so she could do Erusin within 3 months, because Erusin obviously won't result in a pregnancy. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yossi is difficult to articulate. And the truth of the matter is, right now, I'd prefer not to articulate Rabbi Yossi's position, because a good part of today's daf is going to be trying to clarify what exactly is Rav Yossi's position regarding the 3 month waiting period. I'll tell you what he said, meaning I'll read the Mishnah. Rav Yossi Amar Kol HaNashim Yisarsu, every woman could do Erusin, Echutz Min Almana, with notable exception to the widow, because for the widow, she has Avelos. Now, the Mishnah doesn't tell us how long her Avelos is going to be, but you can guess, and you'll guess correctly. It's going to be 30 days over the loss of her husband. After that point in time, she can go ahead and get married. But in other words, for Rav Yossi, there is an allowance for every woman to do Erusin, with not Nisuin, presumably, but every woman to do Erusin, with notable exception to the widow. Okay. Rav Yossi's position will be clarified, and the reason why it's going to be clarified, aside from the fact that we want clarity on every position, but as we litigated yesterday, the halacha falls like Rav Yossi, meaning that was a statement that was made by Rav Yochanan, and that is halacha falls like Rav Yossi. In order to say that, we had to first conclude yesterday that the Tanakhama is not Rabbim, it's not the majority position, but rather the Tanakhama is a Das Yachid. And as we pointed out yesterday, the Tanakhama is in fact Rebbe Meir. Okay, so with that stated, so we're just going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We're on Mem Beis Amud Beis. Today's daf is Mem Gimel. And we noted yesterday, last thing we saw yesterday is what they said in Kerem B'Yavne, what they say in Kerem B'Yavne, that everyone needs to wait 3 months. Okay, so Amarle Rabbi Yirmiya. So we are on Mem Beis Amud Beis, about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud, more. So Amarle Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zirika, ki alu telakam de Rabbi Abahu. So next time you're visiting Rabbi Abahu, Ramile, Miyama, Rabbi Yochanan, Halachik, Rabbi Yossi. Is it really true that Rabbi Yochanan made this declarative statement that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi? V'ham Rabbi Yochanan halacha kistam mishnah. We also know that Rabbi Yochanan always subscribes to anonymous mishnayos. We see that throughout Chas. And so here's just but another example where the Gemara clearly has a mitzvah that according to Rabbi Yochanan, whenever Rabbi Yehuda Anasi writes a mishnah and pens it anonymously without assigning attribution of who said it, so that means that that's a tell, that's a tip, that in fact is the accepted halacha. Vitzanan, what did we learn in our Mishnah? So kol anashim lo yinasim lo yisasu achiyu lahem shlosha chadashim achas besulos v'achas beulos. And the Mishnah says that kol hanashim, all women should not get married, not erisin, not nesuin, for 3 months, and it doesn't matter whether she's a besula or beula. So the Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, tells us that a lo plug, every woman's got to wait 3 months. And that clearly is not the position of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi certainly has allowances for erisin within 3 months. We could say that clearly, again, with the exception to the widow. But the widow only has to wait 1 month. Okay, but outside of that, Rav Yossi clearly is not with this Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. So, Am Alei D'Ram Alach Alo Chashu Kimche. So, I think it's Rabbi Rabbi Abahu, because in other words, the question was posed to Rabbi Abahu. Anyway, the response is, you're sifting the grain and you're not doing a careful job. In other words, you're just not looking at it carefully enough. Stam v'achakach machlokisi v'ein halacha kistam. In other words, that's not Stam Mishnah. That's a Stam Mishnah followed immediately by a machlokis. And you know that whenever you have a Stam followed by a machlokis within the Mishnayos, so then the halacha is not like the Stam. The Amar Papa Vitim Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara actually provides for us Ein Mesorah on this very issue, machlokis v'achakach Stam, halachik istam. If the sequence of the Mishnayos is that first the machlokis is presented, and then at a later point in time, we're given a Stam Mishnah, fine, that's a Stam Mishnah. Stam v'achakach machlokis. However, if I have a Stam Mishnah followed by, now I was about to say immediately, it doesn't have to be immediate. It does, however, have to be in the same Masechta. Okay, and much to discuss in terms of what the definition of the same Masechta is. Okay, but right now I'll just say it simply. If you have within the same Masechta, first a Stam and then afterwards a Machlokes, so ein halachik Stam. So that is not considered a Stam Mishnah. And as a result of that, this is what we have over here, meaning the presentation of our positions. Yes, it's true, we do have a Stam Mishnah, but then afterwards it's followed by a Machlokes. So that's not a Stam Mishnah. So Rav Yochanan is not beholden to our Stam Mishnah over here, which again allows us to say that that Rav Yochanan did in fact pass like Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Abao was walking together with Rabbi Nachum, his attendant. And Mankin Vaza Hilchus Amine. And while they were walking together, good. So some halachic discourse. So by Mine Machlokus Vachakach Stamai. So let's say you have a Machlokus followed by a Stam. So what's the rules? So Amale Halachik Stam. So halachic is like Stam. Stam Vachakach Machlokus Mai. Amale Ain Halachik Stam. Okay, and I know for us it's a review. But again, the Gemara is giving us now this dialogue again, just to fortify what we just learned together. What if I have a Stam Mishnah, and then in a Braisa? So Braisa, of course, is Tanayim, and it's Tanaitic, but it's not canon, meaning it's not Mishnah. So let's say in the Mishnah it's a Stam, but in the Braisa it turns out to be Tzemachlokis. So Amalei Halachik Stam. So he says there, so Stam. Meaning the fact that the machlokus in the Braisa is not going to affect or influence the Mishnah. Stam Mishnah is still considered Stam Mishnah despite the fact that in a Braisa it ends up being a machlokus.
Everywhere, was aware of the writer, and he excluded it for that reason because he knew those.
We're getting there. Machlokas b'masnisim v'stamba b'brais amai. So he says, let's say it's a machlokas of the Mishnah, but the brais presents it as a stam. So amar lei v'chi Rebbe lo shana Rebbe Chia minayin lo. So he says, well, that's impossible because Rebbe Chia is the author of the brais. Now Rebbe Chia happens to not be the only Tana who was misad of brais. Meaning there were a number of Tanaim who put together brises, the ones that are most quote-unquote popular, Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yoshia, right? Rabbi Chia puts together what we call brises, but brises really is a generic term. Brises just simply means anything that's not Mishnah, anything that's not canon. So the and there's also Rabbi Yoshia, who's responsible for the Tosefta, and Libby Omerli, that there are other Tanaim also responsible for other collections as well. But regardless, the point of the Gemara is that Rabbi Chia was a Talmud of Rebbe. And so Rabbi Chia is learning something in the Braisa, so it's really a derivative of the Mishnah. And so the Gemara says, V'chi Rebbe lo shana Rebbe Chia minayin lo? If Rebbe didn't teach it, where did Rabbi Chia get it from? So in other words, that a Stam Braisa is not going to qualify as a Stam. Meaning that Rabbi Chia is just simply a derivative of Rabbi Yehuda. If Rabbi Yehuda is presenting as a Machlokas, so the Masorah is, it's a Machlokas. I, in the Braisa, it's a Stam? That's not going to change or affect the status of it being a machlokas. Okay. So what comes out over here is as follows. We have a Misora that according to Rav Yochanan, halachik is tam Mishnah. And then what we worked on now for the last couple minutes is just simply a qualification of what is considered a tam Mishnah. It has to be, tam Mishnah could be just simply be that. In other words, it's just simply an anonymous position. Or even in the Mishnah, if it comes out to be a machlokas, so then sequence becomes critical. If it's machlokas followed by stam, that's a stam Mishnah. If it's a stam followed by machlokas, that's not a stam Mishnah. Good. That's what we just learned together. Mem Gimel Amud Aleph around the very top of the Amud, the Gemara is going to take us on a little bit of a tangent. Because we learned together that if you see a stam Mishnah, and you ask Rav Yochanan, is that the halacha? So what we're expecting Rav Yochanan to say is yes. And meanwhile, here's a notable exception. We are going to go left field. We are now going to go and learn together a Mishnah in Kalim, 13th Perek. And so we get to learn a little bit of Kalim this morning. But the whole point of us introducing this Mishnah is just simply to try to see whether or not Rav Yochanan is consistent. We're assuming he's consistent, but there seems to be an inconsistency. First, the Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim go and detail every one of the Kalim. I say every one of the Kalim, meaning, right, a kli is just simply a functional utensil. So, right, obviously, since the writing of the Mishnah, so you have numerous new kalim. But at the time of the writing of the Mishnah, so basically every one of the kalim are covered. And I do not want to give the impression that I know Masechta Kalim. I do not know Masechta Kalim. But but that's the basic gist of the Masechta. 30 prakim of this discussion. Notable exceptions, the first parak of kalim. So the first parak of kalim is an overview of Tum and Tahara. So after that, then the next 29 prakim, so just a list of different kalim. So here in the 13th parak, we're going to be talking about a comb. Again, when it comes to kalim, we all know the rules. It's very simple. Once it becomes a functional utensil, so then it's mekabel tumah. If it's a non-functioning utensil, it has no utility, it's broken, so then it's not mekabel tumah. Furthermore, if it was tummy and it breaks, the tumah goes away. And then, if I recall, the discussion elsewhere in the Gemara, where it was broken, then it was repaired. Does the Tuma come back again? Okay, but anyway. But right now, those are the basic rules. We know them. Now, a discussion in the Gemara regarding a Mishnah regarding a comb. When is it no longer functional? So you have a comb, so we all know. It's got teeth. So one tooth breaks off, still functional. Two teeth break off, still functional. Okay, so at what point in time does it no longer become a functional comb? So Masrik Shapishtan. So we're talking here about combs now for the hair, although I have a good feeling that the Mishnah has discussed that as well. But we're discussing combs right now that are used for flax and wool. So first, our comb for flax. So Masrik Shapishtan Shinit Lushina Vinishtar Boshtayim Tomeos Vachas Tahara. So for your flax comb, so two teeth remaining, still a comb. One tooth remaining, no longer a comb. Vikulam Shinit Luachas Achas Bifne Asmam Tomeos. Let's say you want the actual tooth, meaning the tooth for you now serves a function. You mamish took the tooth off of the comb because you want the actual tooth. So now the tooth for you becomes a utility, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. Okay. Sheltzemer. Now we're going to be discussing our wool comb. Shinit lu shinav achas memein time tahor. Let's say every other tooth has been removed. So it's tooth, non-tooth, tooth, non-tooth. So under those circumstances, it's no longer functional. And so therefore, it's not mekabel tuma. Nishtayir bo gimel b'makam echad tame. If three consecutive teeth exist on the comb, so now it's going to be mekabel tuma. It's still functional. Haisa hachitzona achas mehem tahor. Haisa hachitzona achas mehem tahor. If the outer tooth is to be removed, so then it's no longer functional. Nitlu beiz va'asan lemelake. Let's say two teeth are taken off of our wool comb in order to be used, served as tweezers. So then the teeth themselves are mekabel tuma because, again, you've repurposed them for tweezers. Achas vihitkina l'ner o lemituach tamea. Let's say you took off one tooth and you were masaking it, meaning you repurposed it, and it sounds like from the Mishnah, repurposing it just doesn't mean that you assigned it mentally for another usage, but you actually worked it over a little bit. Whatever adjustment was necessary, you gave it the necessary adjustment so that you can stretch out a thread with it, or you can use it to clean out your candle. So it's now that tooth is mekabel tuma. Good. That's a Mishnah in Kalim. So v'kaimelan dein halacha kosa Mishnah, and it's established. The halacha does not follow like that Mishnah. So here we are, Stam Mishnah, and we have an establishment, we have a Mesorah, the halacha doesn't follow like that Mishnah. And so with those two pieces of information, now we're confused, because if you ask Rav Yochanan seemingly would tell you, the halacha should be following that Mishnah, and meanwhile, we have a Mesorah, the halacha does not follow that Mishnah. Amalei Barmina. So the Gemara says that Mishnah is an exclusion. In other words, you're right. So for every rule, there's an exception. So this Mishnah is an exception. Why is it an exception? Gemara goes on to explain. Both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are quoted as saying, not a Mishnah. Meaning, there's something wrong with that Mishnah. You learn the Mishnah, but in other words, Halacha doesn't follow it. Something's foul about that Mishnah. So my time, I'm Rav Huna Bar Mina Mishmei, I'm sorry, Bar Manoch Mishmei Derevi, Dibere Derevi, Kamishum Dekashia Reish Lasefa. The reason why the Mishnah is no good is because of the inconsistency that lies within the Mishnah. Diktani shel tzemer, because when the Mishnah went on to describe the wool comb, shinit lu shinav achas memein time tahor. So follow, or at least try to follow. In the Mishnah it says, you lose every other tooth, no good. So now, if I'm reading that Mishnah carefully, what's the diuk? The diuk is that if I have two consecutive teeth, you should be good. So hani shtar bo shayim b'makom echad tame. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, v'hadar tanei nishtar bo gimel tame. Then the Mishnah says, in order for the tooth to still have utility, it has to have three consecutive teeth. So gimel in shtayim lo. So you see that inconsistency in that Mishnah? That's enough to disqualify the Mishnah. So umay kushna do mahabeg avaysa habebraysa. So the Gemara says, I don't know, meaning, you know how Gemara works, you see an inconsistency, so you resolve the inconsistency. So the Gemara says, we could do that over here with the inconsistency in that Mishnah in Kalim. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about two different types of combs. Maybe, or two different types of teeth that exist within the comb. Rashi over here does struggle a little bit in terms of explaining the Gemara over here. Rashi offers two pshatim. I will stay over just this morning, just the second pshat of Rashi. He favors the second pshat. Rashi says that we're talking about a comb that does not have one row, but rather has two rows. Rashi says that the outer row is the more significant row for the purpose of combing. The inner row, it's just for the purposes of collecting. Almost it serves like a reservoir for the wool. So for the outer rows of this comb, it's more like a brush, I guess you would describe it as. But for the outer rows of this comb, so there, because those rows are more significant, I need three teeth, three consecutive teeth. On the interior row, says Rashi, where it's not as significant, so I only need two consecutive teeth. Good. That's the second and preferred pshat of Rashi in the Gemara over here. So the Gemara says, fine. So you don't have to disqualify the Mishnah because of that seemingly inconsistent position of the Mishnah. We just resolved it. In other words, we do what the Gemara classically does. So Gemara says, El Mehacha. So once again, we're looking for why the Amoraim rejected that Mishnah. We don't have a good explanation yet. So So look, you take a tooth off the comb. What do we say? We say that if you take a tooth off the comb because you want the tooth, so then it's mekabel tumah because you repurposed it. But from the Mishnah, it doesn't sound like you have to do anything. Just simply removing a tooth is enough. Where I remove the tooth, I look at it and say, hey, that could serve as a function for me. Good. But meanwhile, a masefa, read on in the Mishnah. Achas vihitkina lener. Olam mituach tameya. I took off a tooth and I actually repurposed it. Meaning I made an adjustment so that now it has utility. Then it's mekabel tumah. So, taking off a tooth by itself, is that tooth now going to be a mekabel tumah? I'm confused. The Mishnah is giving mixed messages about removing a tooth, and even though you're designating it for a new purpose, but you didn't do anything to the tooth. What would become of that tooth regarding kabbalah satuma? I'm confused by the Mishnah. So the Gemara says hitkin in lo hitkin lo. So I'm Abaye my kusha. So Abaye says again, it seems like an inconsistency, but it doesn't have to be. We could resolve that as well. So Dilma habekatayu hadlo bekatayu. So the Gemara says it depends. When I'm pulling a tooth off of the comb, how much of the tooth am I pulling off? If I'm pulling off tooth with a base to it, meaning some of the actual comb itself, so then I don't have to do any adjustment. Meaning that in of itself is going to be, as long as I want to repurpose it for something else, that's sufficient. If, however, I pulled off the tooth, but it doesn't have any base to it, so now I actually have to physically repurpose it. I could say that. So I'm Rapapa my kusha v'dama ha-pekatnisa ha-balamisa. And Rav Papa says, I can give another resolution of the Mishnah. Depends on whether it's a fine tooth or it's a wide tooth. And we could just make a distinction there as well in terms of whether or not I need to make a tikkun in the actual tooth itself. So once again, we're still struggling. What's the problem with the Mishnah? Why did the Mishnah get rejected? So the Gemara says, because when people who really know the Mishnayos, the Dafkani are people who are Dafka. They are precise in their learning of the Mishnayos. So they say over this Mishnah, they end the Mishnah off with four words. Zu Divrei Rebbe Shimon. The Mishnah should be assigned to Rebbe Shimon, meaning it's not a Stam Mishnah. The Mishnah is not anonymous. The Mishnah actually has attribution to the Shita of Rebbe Shimon. So that's now a tell. That tells us that it's not a Stam Mishnah, and that's why Rav Yochanan is able to reject the Mishnah. Okay, and then a discussion. Which part of the Mishnah gets rejected, meaning what is which part of the Mishnah is Rav Yochanan objecting to? Okay, but we're good. We're good.
Why does the Stam Mishnah hold so much weight?
So because Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was obviously very, had a design when he penned the Mishnayos. I say he penned the Mishnayos. Now, you can call him an editor. I think that's fair. But even as he edits the Mishnayos, but still, it's by design. So he was careful in terms of some Mishnahs you'll see anonymous, some of them you won't see anonymous, and what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is doing is communicating to us. Like, why sometimes? Meaning, the question's fair. Why sometimes are Mishnahs just simply giving us information, no attribution, and other Mishnahs, like this one over here, Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Why did he do that? So Rabbi Yochanan's telling you, because what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is teaching us is that some points are accepted, some points are not accepted. That's the Rabbi Yochanan approach. Okay, we are back. We're back to our topic. So establishing a paternity. So a woman has to wait 30 days. So now the Gemara is going to turn its attention to how to count. So I said 30 days. Let me quickly correct myself. Not 30 days. 90 days. In other words, 3 months. Okay, how to count 3 months? So Shalach Rabbi Chaber Avin Ma'arsin Toch Gimel V'chenos in Ma'isa V'chena Yerab Elazar Malam Dein Mishum Rabbi Chanina Gadol Rubo Shal Rishon V'Rubo Shal Shlishi V'Emsa Shalom. So counting 3 months, you could do a loose count of 3 months. Get the majority of month number one, the majority of month number three, and the entirety of the middle month. My calculations gets me to about 62 days, okay, thereabouts. Okay, and that's all you need to do. So in other words, 3 months does not need to be 3 months. This position, admittedly, is difficult to understand because, again, the whole point of waiting is to establish paternity. A woman doesn't start showing until 3 months. And so, okay, so I admit a little bit difficult to understand, but that's one opinion. There are going to be a total of three opinions. Amemar Sharle Aris Biyam Tishim. Amemar allowed a woman after terminating one marriage to do Erisin on the 90th day. Amalei Rav Ashi Lameim Rav Harav Shmuel Damri Tavar Tzrichan Lantim Gemach Hadashim Chutz Miyom Shemeis Bo V'Chutz Miyom Shenisar Sabo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have a tradition for Rav and Shmuel that it's 90 days, not including the day that she divorced or was widowed and the day that she is going to get married. Let's put that in other terms, 92 days. So the Gemara at first tries to deflect. Maybe that's regarding nursing. Now, what did we learn? So the last couple of days in the Daf, we learned together that a nursing woman, you're not allowed to marry a nursing woman. Again, for the consideration that you marry a nursing woman, so what's going to happen is you're going to impregnate her, and she's no longer going to be able to nurse. She's not going to be lactating. And then, because the previous kid is not yours, so you're not going to have enough for Rachmanis to buy formula. Okay. I know that sounds extraordinarily callous, but that's the concern the Chachamim had. Okay. So when it comes to nursing, that's where we talked about the exclusionary days. Meaning, again, the span for nursing is 2 years. So what we're saying now is that what Rav and Shmuel were addressing is that 2 years is in addition to the day of death and the day of marriage. So it's 2 years and 2 days. That's what the Gemara is trying to suggest right now. Itmar de Rav Shmuel, I'm sorry. Okay, excluding the day of I really meant the day of birth and the day of marriage. So in other words, those two days are excluded. So it's 2 years and 2 days. So the Gemara says, yeah, I hear you, but yeah, we're not right. You're not right about that. Gemara says, you know. Somebody tried to get married on day 90 and the matter came in front of Rava and Rava said, so let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to postpone. But we got the caterer already. So Rava says, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. In other words, it's a gzera de rabbanan that you must wait 90 days. And when we say 90, we mean more than 90 days and 92 days. And so it's unfortunate. You're going to take the loss. So the Gemara says, how sudas nisuin havai. So the Gemara once again tries to deflect. No, that wasn't Sudas Erisin, that was Nisuin. Meaning, but Erisin could be done within 92 days. So the Gemara says, V'hilchasa. And now we wrap up this discussion. Both in terms of the span of waiting for a nursing woman and for the span of waiting for a woman who just terminated her one marriage and going into her next marriage. So the numbers 24 months and 3 months are not including 2 additional days. So it's 24 months and 2 days. It's 3 months and 2 days. Okay. Otherwise stated as 92 days. Again, it just I've been present at a lot of gittin, right? Asked to serve as either an aide or a dayan, and so every time. So the instructions are really clear. You need to wait 92 days before you marry again. Okay. Good. Chutz min almana. Okay, so the Gemara, after a little bit of discussion, comes to a really resolved conclusion. Chutz min almana, Amar Rav Chista. So, let's review what we know. A woman has to wait 3 months. Good. We've just established that 3 months really means 92 days. Good. Who needs to wait? So, according to the Tanakhama, which is also Rav Meir, every single woman. And circumstances no longer play a role. Meaning, she wasn't impregnated by a previous husband. We know she wasn't. So Rav Meir / the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says, lo plug. We don't make any distinction. In other words, every woman. So then Shitas Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, you can do Erisin early because Erisin won't result in a pregnancy. Erisin is the first stage of marriage. Erisin does not involve intimacy. And so therefore, you can do Erisin early. Nisuin, you have to wait. And write 90/92 days. Good. That's the Shita of Rav Yehuda. And then the Mishnah presented the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says everyone could do Erisin early, which I know right now sounds a lot like Rabbi Yehuda, with notable exception of the widow. The widow's got to wait for her Avelis. Avelis, we're going to assume right now, is a month. And so therefore, the widow can't do Erisin within 30 days. Okay, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. So, Amar Rav Chista Kavachomer. So Rav Chista said, I'm bothered. Meaning this is a question. And I'm bothered because let's think about this reasonably. Let's argue. And that is, umaba makam shasa lechabes, motale ares, well, where I know I can't launder. Now, when can't I launder? Shavu shechabo. The week that Tisha B'Av falls out on, you're not allowed to do laundry. Okay. Us Ashkenazim, we hear this, and And right, and we're wondering, right, the week of Tisha B'Av, back it up. In other words, try 9 days. In other words, from Rosh Chodesh Av. Okay, so we Ashkenazim have added chumras to this halacha. Okay, good. And the and why that is, not for now. We are right now going to forget for a moment we're Ashkenazim. We're just gonna know what the alib of the Gemara, according to the baseline halacha of the Gemara. So the Isser Kibbutz is only Shavu Shechabo, the week that Tisha B'Av falls down on. So Umaba Makim Shasal Chabis Motalei Ares. Now you're allowed to do Erusin and Shavu Shechabo, and I can't launder Makim Shemutalei Chabis and Adin Shemutalei Ares. Now let's talk about Shloshim. Can you do laundry during Shloshim? The answer is yes. Yes. Now, if you remember back in Moed Katan, something about you can't do something with clothing during 30 days. So that's a process called Gihutz. Okay. Now, my job at this point in time is to explain to you what Gihutz is. I'm not sure. I know. It's something like the pressing of clothing. It's a very specific activity with clothing. But laundry itself you could do during Shloshim. Okay? And Rashi points out over here. The only real prohibition during Shloshim is getting a haircut. You can't get a haircut and shave during Shloshim. And even that, says Rashi, meaning that is a prohibition, but that's only because of a drasha and psukim. But really during Shloshim, activities are permitted. And laundry is permitted during Shloshim. So the Gemara says, so now I'm so confused. Meaning, during Shavu Shechabo, where you are not allowed to do laundry, and you could do Erusin. So you mean to tell me that Shloshim, a widow, just lost her husband. And now during Shloshim, she can't do Erusin? That doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. Okay. So Mahi, so now after asking the question, the Gemara is going to establish all this information that we now know, but the Gemara is just going to establish the fact. So La'aris Mahi did not. We learned in the Mishnah, Shabbos Shechal, Tisha B'Av, Besocho, what we call Shavu Shechabo, meaning the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on. Right? This year it's going to be confusing. Because Tisha B'Av comes out on the Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. Right, so we're right. So when Shavu Shechabo? Good. So, right. So we, this year is a complicated year. So, but on a standard year, meaning let's put Tisha B'Av any other day of the week. Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday. So you know what Shavu Shechabo is? Sunday, which also happens to be Tisha B'Av. If Tisha B'Av falls out on a Wednesday, so what's Shavu Shechabo? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Okay, it's simple. Tisha B'Av can fall out on a Friday, not with our fixed calendar. Our fixed calendar will not allow it to happen. But back in the day, before the calendar was fixed, Tisha B'Av came out on a Friday. So there you have the longest Shavu Shechabo of Sunday through Friday of Shavu Shechabo. So, Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av B'socha Asol Asapir L'Chabes. So you can't get a haircut. You can't launder your clothing on Shavu Shechabo. Again, for us Ashkenazim, right, we're a little bit confused. But again, we're right now learning baseline halacha aliba de Gemara. So now there is an exclusion, which is that you're if Tisha B'Av were to come out on a Friday, so what you're allowed to do is that you're allowed to do laundry on Thursday. Yeah, that's true. But in other words, Shabbos. In other words, we have to prepare for Shabbos. So therefore, laundry is allowed on that Thursday. Okay. Vitanya, we learned in a brisa kodem hazman hazeh ha'amimatin be'iskei emelisa melitan melivnos melintoa. So during Shavu Shechabo, I'm saying the Gemara right now. As the Gemara right now is currently assuming, in a moment that we're going to redact our assumption. But right now it seems like we're talking about Shavu Shechabo. So during Shavu Shechabo, so you got to minimize in business. You can't do any kind of construction, and I say any kind of construction. If you go back to Moed Katan, that gets qualified a little bit. But anyway, Ume Arsin, but you're allowed to do Arsin during Shavu Shechabo. Avalo Konsin, but you can't do the second stage of marriage Nisuin. Venosin Sudas Erisin, and you also don't make a Suda as well of Erisin. But Erisin itself, you can do during Shavu Shechabo. So, now let's just reformulate our question, right? It's going to be the same question. But now we got all the information, and now let's see if we can process, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging to process. We just learned together that that Shavu Shechabo, where I can't launder, but I'm allowed to do Erisin. So Shloshim of the widow, where she's allowed to do laundry, you don't think she could do Erusin? Doesn't make any sense. That's Rav Chista's question on the Shita of Rav Yossi. Okay, it's a strong question. The Gemara is going to try to resolve. So, Kitanya Yikonim Dekonim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the period of Erisin that we're describing here, right, where it says that Kodim Hazman Hazeh, we thought that meant before Tisha B'Av, meaning it's describing Shavuot Shechabah. The Gemara now is suggesting, nah, maybe Kodim means before Shavuot Shechabah, meaning what period of time is before Shavuot Shechabah? Okay, 9 days, meaning from Rosh Chodesh Av. So from Rosh Chodesh Av, already at that point in time, so you could do Erisin. But during Shavuot Shechabah, you can't do Erisin. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. I'm a Rava, v'kodem v'kodem, nam mikav v'chomer. Rava says, that doesn't really help us. Meaning, that doesn't resolve our issue. Umaba makam shasol lisa v'litan muta le'areis. So, during this period, meaning from Rosh Chodesh Av until Shavuot Shechabah, so you still have to minimize in the amount of work that you do, and you're allowed to do Erisin. Makam shemuta lisa v'litan, during Shloshim. So is there any restrictions on work? No, none. And so therefore, eno din shemuta le'areis? So for sure you could do Erisin. Meaning, right now, what's the impediment of doing Erisin during Shloshim? Even if we back it up to before Shavuot Shechabah, still the argument is a sound argument. If during the period of pre Shavuot Shechabah, there's no restriction on work, and you're allowed to do Erisin. So during Shloshim, where there's no restriction on work, for sure you're allowed to do Erisin. So the Gemara says, Lo tema de Rabbi Yossi Omer kol anashim yisarsu. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to do. And that is, we're going to significantly modify our understanding of Rav Yossi. And so now what the Gemara is going to do is do a significant turn on what Rav Yossi actually meant to say. So Lo tema Rav Yossi Omer kol anashim yisarsu, ela ema kol anashim yinasu. What Rav Yossi meant is that kol hanashim yinasu. He's talking about nisuin. You could do nisuin, a woman could do nisuin right away. She terminates the marriage, she could do nisuin right away. All right? Even within a month, she could do nisuin, says Rabbi Yossi. With the notable exception of a widow. A widow can't do nisuin because she's an avelos. So for 30 days, she won't be able to do nisuin. That's what Rabbi Yossi meant. To which you have to wonder to yourself, and you don't have to wonder, because the Gemara is going to ask it straight out. You could do nisuin right away, meaning what about paternity? She just exited a marriage, and now she's going to enter another marriage, and 2 weeks later, and what about paternity? And the Gemara says, "V'leisle l'Rav Yossi l'havchin." So now Rav Yossi isn't concerned about establishment of paternity. So the first answer of the Gemara, which is somewhat amazing. So and we're going to add the words as per the Bach e by saying v'leisle. No, maybe. Maybe Rav Yossi is not worried about establishment of paternity. Not really sure what that means. Meaning, the Gemara laid it down that there are two real considerations in terms of why it's so important to establish paternity. And Rav Yossi's not bothered by it. Not really sure how to explain that, but that's one approach of the Gemara. V'yibay semalo lamisle. So the Gemara says no. Alternatively, what we could say is that no, really, according to Rav Yossi, you do have to establish paternity. The Ema, Rabbi Yossi Kol Omer. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to reinterpret Rabbi Yossi. Here's what Rabbi Yossi meant. And that is, Kol Arusos Nesuos Yinasu. Sorry, let me read that better. Kol Arusos Gerushos Yinasu. I'm even wearing my glasses. Amazing. So anyway, so what Rabbi Yossi means is as follows. If, let's say, she just finished a marriage, but the first marriage was only Erisin. And then divorce. In that circumstance now, so she can get married right away. Meaning nisuin. She can get married right away. Because over there, obviously there's no concern about establishing paternity. She was not with her previous husband. So Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay. So after now working over the sheet of Rav Yossi, you know what comes out? That Rav Yossi is saying the exact same thing that Rav Yehuda said. So in the Mishnah, we had the sheet of the Tanakhama, we had the sheet of Rav Yehuda, and we had the sheet of Rav Yossi. And so now, when all said and done, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are saying the same thing. Can't be. So the Gemara says, Ika benau nesua le'aris. So the Gemara says, the difference between the two are going to be the following. A woman coming off of nisuin. She was fully married to her previous husband with intimacy. And now, what can she do for the next 90 days? That's the machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda suffered nisua mutar le'ares, where Rabbi Yehuda says that she could do erisin, and Rabbi Yossi suffer nisua asur le'ares. And Rabbi Yossi will tell you that no, that she's coming off of nisuin, she can't do erusin even within the 90 days. So the Gemara says, "V'savra Rav Yossi Nesua Asur Le'aris." The Gemara says, "Really? That's correct." V'atanya, the Gemara says, "I want to share with you a brisa." Rav Yossi Amar Kol Anash Misarsu Chutz Min Almana Mimnei Aibul. Okay, Rav Yossi says that every woman can do erusin, notable exception of the widow, because again she has her shloshim where she can't do erusin. V'kama Aibul Shalosh Shloshim Yom, and it's 30 days. V'chulun La'inasu Ad Shehiyu Lahem Gemel Chadashim, and all the women cannot get married, meaning the second stage of marriage, until 3 months later. So it comes out now that you're suggesting to me that after erusin, that our interpretation of Rav Yossi is that after nisuin, she can't do erusin within 3 months. We just learned a brisa together. Brisa is pretty clear that after nisuin, she can enter into erusin within the 3 month span. It's just nisuin that has to be delayed until after the 3 month span. So the Gemara says, "Hi, my kushya." Elema. Now the Gemara says, "I know the brisa seems to be clear, but which part of the brisa really bothers you?" So elema diktani Rabbi Yossi Amar Kol Anashim Yisarsu. Was it the line of that Rabbi Yossi says Kol Anashim Yisarsu? That's what bothered you. So the Gemara says, "Mi alima mamas nisan." Well, we had the exact same formulation in the Mishnah. V'du kimna barusus gerushos yinasu. And what we did in the Mishnah is we gave an ukimta. So, hachinami kol arusus gerushos yinasu. We'll do the same thing over here. We'll give an ukimta in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, elami seifa. The Gemara says, okay, but read on in the Braisa. We just read the Braisa together. Second half of the Braisa. Diktani v'kulan lo yinasu achilam gimel chadashim. So, all women cannot do nisuin until after the 3 month period. Now, right, you don't have to be, you're just a simple diuk in the Braisa. So, in suvihu delo, ha is ruse shapridami. Well, that means that the only thing that's banned is nisuin. But erusin in that 3 month period is fine. Okay, so, am Rava tritzvei mahachi. So Rava says, okay, so we're just going to work on the Braisa a little bit more. Rabbi Yossi, amar kol arusus grushus yinasu chutz min almanim im ne'aibo. So, anyone coming off of erusin is allowed to do nisuin immediately thereafter. Again, I say immediate. In other words, you got to wait. You have to wait a little bit of time. But the first marriage did not result in any kind of possible pregnancy, and so therefore you could do nisuin immediately thereafter. Again, the widow can't because the widow has to observe shloshim. V'kama ibol shalosh shloshim yom u nisuin lo yisarsu. Now, if the woman's coming off of nisuin, so then lo yisarsu ashilam shloshah chadashim. Then even for erusin, you have to wait 3 months. Okay. Admittedly, that's injecting a lot into the Braisa. But again, what we're trying to do is create distinction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So we're saying Upshan Rabbi Yossi. It doesn't read so smoothly. Okay, but we can make it work. So Va'amana Minerus and Misle Ibo. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I'm listening carefully. And you just told me that an Amana, when she's coming off of erusin, so she has a mourning period. That true? The Gemara says it's not true. V'atini Rabbi Chiya bar Amma Yishtar Arus alone and v'lo mitame lo v'chein hi lo nenas v'lo mitame lo meisa ina yorsha meisu govik suvasa. Okay, and as far as a husband and wife that only went through the first stage of marriage, so there's no tumah. Meaning we're talking about where the kohanim. He's a kohen. She's a eshes kohen or a bas kohen. Well, right, once he dies, she's no longer an Ashes Kohen. She's a Bas Kohen, so there's no Tumah. Now, as far as he to her is concerned, so there's no Tumah, meaning that a Kohen can be Mitame for family members and for his wife, but only his wife that he went through both stages of marriage. If it's only the first stage of marriage, so then he does not have the Heter to be Mitame for her. It's more challenging to understand the other direction. A Bas Kohen who was married to a man, she can't be Mitame for him. The Mishnah Kedushin tells us that a Bas Kohen is allowed to be Matame in general, meaning she is not included in the Isser of Tumas Kohanim. So it's a little bit more challenging. Rashi addresses it over here. Rashi addressed it already back on Chavtes. Either way, the point is, let's just stay with the basic point of the Gemara, and that is that there's no Heter Tumah, and the assumption is that there's no Avelus, and there's no Shloshim, if you're just coming off of the Erusin portion of marriage. So, Ella. So the Gemara at this point in time now is really struggling because we are trying to say Pshan Rav Yossi, and it's difficult, it's challenging to wrap our head around the Shita Rav Yossi. And On top of that, what right now the overarching question that Rav Chisda asked, Rava asked, is that Rav Yossi's position doesn't make sense. Meaning, consider, she's observing Shloshim for her late husband, and she can't do Erusin. Why not? Meaning, if during Shavuot Shechabo, or even if you want to tell me from Rosh Chodesh Av, where there are restrictions in other areas, laundering, working, and meanwhile there's no restriction for Erusin, so then it doesn't make any sense. If a woman's during Shloshim, where there's pretty much no restriction, again, notable exception to Gihutz and Tasparis, but there's no restrictions during Shloshim, so of course a woman could do Erusin during Shloshim. So we're really bothered by this overarching question for Rav Yossi. And because of this question, we're trying to offer another Pshat in Rav Yossi, and we're really struggling. So the Gemara says like this, Tanaihi. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to go back to the Avelis issue. The Avelis issue, not as clear-cut as we originally presented. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Rosh Chodesh V'Adar Tanis, Ha'am Mem'atim Miskei, Melisa Melita, Melivnos Melintoa, Mele Ares, Umilisa. Here's a Braisa. The Braisa says, you know what you can't do? Already going back to Rosh Chodesh Av, you can't do Erusin. Okay. So we said on the Amud Aleph that Erusin up to Tisha B'Av is fine. And meanwhile, not as straightforward, not as clear cut. Here we just learned a Braisa together that Erusin is not fine. So what does that now do? It removes the entire question. Right, the whole question of Rav Chisda and Rav is predicated on what we learned in the Amud Aleph, but now what we're learning together is not everyone agrees. So Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av B'socha Asur L'Saper L'Chabes V'Yoshomim Kol HaChodesh Asur. And then the Braisa talks about Shul Shechabo. You can't get a haircut. You cannot launder. Some say that goes back to Rosh Chodesh. Okay, anyway, but the point is that Erusin is okay during Shul Shechabo, not according to everybody. All right. So once we say that. So then we'll suggest that according to Rav Yossi, he subscribes to this Braisa, the Amud Beis Braisa, not to the Amud Aleph Braisa. Okay. Maske v'la Rav Ashimi Mai Delaris Laris Mamish Dilma L'Me'avet Sudas Erusin Hu, the Asur. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe Erusin over here is not talking about the actual Erusin itself. Maybe it's just simply talking about Suda. Maybe that's the only ban during Shavuot Shechabo. So the Gemara says, "Hale arishaper dami ihachim alisa elinase namelavet sudas nusuin huda aser halisa shaper dami." Well, the Gemara says, "Okay, well then let's take it to the next to its logical conclusion. Maybe we can make a separation by nusuin. Maybe what the Mishnah is telling me or the Brice is telling me is that during Shavuot Shechabo you can't have sudas nusuin, but you can actually have nusuin itself. Are you ready to say that?" So the Gemara says, "Hachi hashta." No, I'm not ready to say that, but with a clear distinction, because bishlam nisuin below suda ika simcha, because nisuin is joyous, right? They're getting married. Not only are they getting married, they're already married, but they're now culminating their marriage, and they're going to be with one another. That already in and of itself is a simcha. However, erusin below suda mika ika simcha, but you do erusin without a suda, it's not such a simcha. Oh, I know it sounds funny, right? They become husband and wife. Yes and no. Meaning, yes, they become husband and wife. As we discussed time and again, right? The first stage of marriage, erusin, so they are husband and wife. She has relations with any other man, that's adultery. They're married. But they're married, however, they are not with one another, right? They don't live together, they're not with each other. So for erusin, it has to, in order for it to be a simcha, it has to be complemented by a meal. Masha Enkin, when it comes to the second stage of marriage, nisuin by itself is already considered a simcha. So, where are we right now? So we're a little bit stuck right now in terms of what exactly is the sheet of Rav Yossi. Because he's telling us that for the 30 days of a widow who's observing avelos for her late husband, so she can't do erusin. She can't do erusin? I think she can. Meaning, and what you'll do is you'll do erusin without the meal. What's the problem with that? And so, what is the restriction? What's the ban regarding doing erusin? The Gemara finally comes around on answering for Rav Chisda, answering the question of Rav Chisda. Ella Amar Rav Ashi Shani Avelos Chadashim Avelos Tishana V'Shani Avelos Rabim May Avelos Yachid. So the Gemara says is that what we've been doing now for an Amud is that we've been making a false comparison. We know the halachas regarding Shavuot Shechabo. We know the halacha regarding 9 days. And that is a woman could do Erusin. and we don't have to be fancy right now separating the meal from the eruv. In other words, let's just say it simply. A woman could do eruv during that period of time. So then why, according to Rav Yossi, during the Shloshim, can a woman not accept eruv from another man? Again, we're just talking about eruv. So, and there are less restrictions during Shloshim. Makes sense that she can accept eruv. So the Gemara says, yeah, because the comparison is a false comparison. What we've been doing now for an entire Amud is that we've been lumping together Avelos. And now what we're going to be doing at the end is we're going to be segregating and separating different types of Avelos. The Avelos over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, which is Tisha B'Av, that the Gemara describes in one of two ways. Avelos Yishana, it's an old Avelos. It's a historical Avelos. And it's also Avelos Derabim, right? That's also a communal Avelos. It's different. The Gemara doesn't precisely articulate how it's different, but it's different. As opposed to Avelos the Yachid, as opposed to a woman who's observing Avelos for the loss of her husband. It's a different type of Avelos. So now we can easily say that when it comes to the Avelos of Tisha B'Av, so yes, obviously, it's an Avelos. But it's not going to prohibit a woman from accepting the Erusin. It's a different type of Avelos. I'm going to use the words in context. It's a lighter Avelos. Masha Ein came when it comes to a woman who's observing Avelos for the loss of her husband. So that is, in this context, a more intense Avelos. And it's not appropriate for her to accept Erusin from another man during those 30 days. That's an easy distinction. Not only is it an easy distinction, the Gemara says, once we make that distinction, the whole question falls away. And our original understanding of Rav Yossi is able to stand. We don't have to come up with now our new interpretations of Rav Yossi, which really took us for a ride. We don't have to do that. We can just go back go back to our original presentation of Rav Yossi. Okay, Ad Kan. Good. It takes us to exactly where we need to be in terms of the daf. A quick recap of the daf today. So we went over the idea of halachic istam mishnah, qualifying what exactly is exactly a Stam Mishnah. In the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we went over what seems to be a notable exception in Mishnah and Kalim, tucked away in the 13th Perek, where it's a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan rejects that Mishnah. We discussed why he did that in that case over there. Answer simply, it's not a Stam Mishnah. Then, a woman has to wait before getting married again. 3 months. How do you count 3 months? The Gemara on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph talked about how exactly to count those 3 months. Halacha is very clear, 92 days. And then finally, the Shita Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says that every woman can do Erusin within the 3 month span, unless a woman is observing Avelos for her late husband, she's a widow, and where at that point in time she has to wait 30 days before accepting Erusin from another man. That's the Shita Rav Yossi, and the Gemara is bothered by the fact that a woman can accept Erusin during Shavuot Shechabo, and the Gemara's answer after a lengthy discussion is, yeah, but that's a different type of Avelos. Ad Kan.